Morning that God has made. We are glad that you are worshiping with us on this Fusion Sunday. This is the last Sunday of the month, and as always, we plan for worship services that are participatory and inclusive of all ages. So you will see in your bulletin a list of the prayer stations for this morning. I will give you further instruction about those when we get to that time. But if you want to read over them and figure out where you might like to go, you are welcome to do that. And just a reminder, if you are worshiping with young people around you, please make sure that they can see the hymnal, that they have a bulletin of their own, and that offering plate is passed to them as well. And a reminder that anyone is welcome to share in the prayers of joy and concern. When you do so, please hold the microphone very, very close so that we can hear you and be in prayer with you as well. So, the hospitality registers are in your pews, and if you would, take some time to sign those at some point during the service, and if you would like to offer any feedback about Fusion Sundays and ways that we can help connect to you and your life of faith in God, please let us know. We have an announcement this morning, Sherry.
Good morning. Actually, I have a little list of announcements. The easiest is that Children's Sunday is June 8th, so we'd like to have the kids here at 9:30, most of whom aren't here today, but that would be helpful. The yard sale is 4 weeks from yesterday. First drop-off is June 11th. Last drop-off is June 18th. Sign-up sheets will be posted by next Sunday. Most important is Carolyn's celebration is 5 weeks from today. Invitations are in the mail. I've gotten a couple of response cards back. Unfortunately, both of them were blank. So please fill those out before you put them in the mail. That would be helpful. Also, just so you know, we used a Harbinger mailing list. So the person whose name is on the label is not the only person invited, just so you know. And those of you with adult children, I know I'm looking at Christy Stewart, and I know that Sheila is on the list, but Sarah is not. So if you would let your adult children know that they are also all invited. Thank you very much.
Are there any other announcements this morning? But let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship our holy God.
Thank you. Please stand if you are able for the call to worship. God, you have brought us out into a sacred place.
We lay our burdens down.
We come as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Shine your spirit of truth upon us.
We come to worship you with open hearts and minds.
You bring us into a sacred place.
Come to God confessing our sins, we can be assured that God forgives us over and over again. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Let us pray. Faithful God, there are times we have not cared for those who are orphaned in body, mind, or soul. We let our fears and anxieties of being alone hold us back from living in your love and in your commandments. Help us recognize your presence abiding in each of us. Oh God, we ask that you hear our silent prayers of confession. God has given us the Spirit of truth. The Spirit transforms our fear into love and our lives into an offering to God and to the world. We are God's children. God's love surrounds us.
This is the first reading of the Word. If with heart and soul you're doing good, do you think you can be stopped? Even if you suffer for it, you're still better off. Don't give the opposition a second thought. Through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention in adoration before Christ, your Master. Be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are, and always with the utmost courtesy. Keep a clear conscience before God so that when people throw mud at you, none of it will stick. They'll end up realizing that they're the ones who need a bath. It's better to suffer for doing good, if that's what God wants, than to be punished for doing bad. That's what Christ did ultimately. Suffered because of others' sins, the righteous one for the unrighteous ones. He went through it all, was put to death, and then made alive to bring us to God. He went and proclaimed God's salvation to earlier generations who ended up in the prison of judgment because they wouldn't listen. You know, even though God waited patiently all the days that Noah built his ship, only a few were saved then, 8 to be exact. Saved from the water, by the water. The waters of baptism do that for you, not by washing away dirt from your skin, but by presenting you, through Jesus' resurrection, before God with a clear conscience. Jesus has the last word on everything and everyone, from angels to armies. He's standing right alongside God, and what he says goes.
This morning, our second reading of the Word picks up where we left off last week in the Gospel of John, as Jesus is speaking with his disciples around the table before his death, giving them instructions, trying to offer them peace and comfort. Hear the words from the Gospel of John. And Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and the Spirit will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live. You also live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have kept my commandments and keep them are those who love me and keep them and will be loved by the Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." I can remember when my girls were very little. They're still little, but they're very little. And we were making the transition from in-home caregivers to daycare. And like many new parents, I may have been freaking out more than the kids were. But in my efforts to calm the anxiety and the tears that I knew would come from them and maybe me on drop-off day, I did all my research into how to say the best goodbye. I rehearsed through what I would say to them about what to expect at daycare. I would tell them what I was doing at work and exactly when I was coming back. And so the morning of, I readied all of their blankies and stuffed animals that helped bring them comfort from home, something to remember me by. And I did my best to keep the goodbye short. And of course, on that morning, they took one look at me and one look at all the toys and hightailed it across the room before I could even give them a hug. The disciples this morning from the gospel are not feeling so self-assured. Jesus has prepared them the best that he can. He has told them where he's going, what he's going to be doing there. Remember, preparing the many rooms. Granted, he could have been a little bit more specific about how long a little while would be into the thousands of years now, but we'll cut him some slack there. And he shared with them the bread and the cup. He provided them with something they could literally hang on to and remember him by. The disciples still aren't so sure. Jesus taught them so much. During his life, this man from Nazareth taught them to feed the hungry, to heal the sick, to be present and share meals with those no one else would share a table with. He taught them how to have courage, to speak and act with regard and respect to people everyone else in the world is mean to or thinks less of, like women and children, the poor, the stranger, those who are in prison. Jesus taught them how to love just as God loves them. And preparing to leave them in his death, he asks them to do one thing. Do what I taught you to do. Make love the goal, the vision, the mission of their lives. This morning, our prayer stations set up around the room and just outside the sanctuary doors focus on the ways that we keep God's love, the mission of all we do here at GPC. And your engagement in a number of these prayer stations will be used by the committee working on updating our mission statement here. The mission statement, of course, is just one of the many ways we live out God's love in this particular time and place. But you know, our responses to that one simple instruction is often like the disciples. Living God's love sounds so much easier than it really is, especially when we're actively engaged in working through loss. Picture in your mind these disciples. Jesus is offering these words to them around the table of the Last Supper. The crumbs from the bread haven't even gone stale yet. And he is telling them about the betrayal, the denial, the suffering, and the death that he is facing. And the disciples are really struggling to hear these nice words about assurance and comfort because, really, they're the ones freaking out. He's about to leave them. And that is what loss can do to a person or a family. A group of friends, or a community of faith. Loss really shakes up our sense of safety and security. There is comfort in what we know. And it's really difficult to even talk about what we don't. And we get that here at Gates Presbyterian Church. We haven't talked about it a whole lot in the last few months. But now, as the date for Carol Ann's retirement grows closer, we want to be able to celebrate with her and the amazing ministry she has been instrumental in leading, not only here in this church, but also in the presbytery and really throughout the world. And like the disciples, we must find space to name those feelings of loss and uncertainty, how we feel as individuals, and how it's affecting us as a congregation. So Jesus' words for his disciples are as true for them as they are for us. We don't do this alone. The word employed by the gospel writer in the Greek is parakletos, often translated, as you heard it, advocate, which can mean the one who brings help, consolation, comfort, and encouragement. All of these, however, derive from the most basic meaning of the word, to come alongside another. Jesus was the first to come alongside us in the incarnation, that we might come to know and see the otherwise invisible God. And when we come along each other to comfort, to encourage, to love, when we act like Jesus, we live into the Holy Spirit's invitation and very being. As we move forward over the upcoming weeks and even months, We not only ask ourselves, how are we living God's love in the world as a church, as our mission, but how are we coming alongside each other as we celebrate and say goodbye? As we do so, may we truly become a community of the Spirit, recognizing that in coming alongside each other to be the advocates for one another, we are loving Jesus most fully by conforming our lives to His and keeping His commandments. Amen. So I invite you into this time for prayer. If you would like to remain seated, you are welcome to do so. There is in your bulletin the list of prayer stations. This Sunday specifically, I hope that you find someone to come alongside to visit the prayer stations, to talk with them, to pray with them. For those with young children, we have two prayer stations that are especially welcoming, the one here at the front and the one inside the doors over here. The prayer stations outside both doors are identical. So if one side's full, go to the other side. If you don't really feel like sitting and doing it right there, you can take one of the papers with you and sit down. There's lots of different opportunities for movement, for silence, for the Spirit. Let us come together in a time of prayer. And when you hear the doxology start, that's usually our sign, and we'll come back and sit together and continue to pray out loud. Let us pray together with God. Careful, there's some wet spots on there.
I invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern.
Hi. On this Memorial Day weekend, I just wanted to remember all the soldiers and sailors and airmen and everyone that are still serving in our military, and especially lift up the names of Sonny Zimmerman and Bernard Corpus, who are two people from my children's, Sheila and John Roach's unit have been killed in Afghanistan. I just lift up Sonny and Bernard's families.
Helen Priestley, I would ask for prayer for my brother John, who is suffering from blood clots in his lungs.
Good morning, Jan Buettner. I'd like to ask prayers for my daughter-in-law's 19-year-old nephew, who this week came down with viral encephalitis and is in critical condition in the hospital in Atlanta. So prayers for them. Thanks.
Mancini, I'd like to say that big is not always better. I want to compliment the choir today.
Oh, yeah.
They were wonderful.
Absolutely.
And also, I'd like to thank Chris, who always jumps in when she's needed, and she also needs a round of applause.
Prayers of thanksgiving for another successful year in seminary.
All right.
Hi, Fran Peril. I'd like to ask for prayers for Bob's cousin, Johnny O'Reilly, who his cancer has come back, and his cousin Renee in Phoenix, who is ALS now.
Let us pray. God of the universe, we rejoice that you have gathered us as the body of Christ called Gates Presbyterian Church. For indeed, your Spirit has danced through our history, calling us, inspiring us, guiding us for so many years. We give you thanks for our foreparents who served you through the mission and ministry of this congregation. For their commitment to you has provided us with a sacred foundation on which to discern your will for the years to come. We ask that you continue to be in our midst as we envision the future. Help us to listen to your voice. On this Memorial Day weekend, we remember the brave men and women who have fought for our liberties on battlefronts. Help us to remember that many have given their lives. Others have life-changing wounds, and still others struggle with emotional scars so that we may be free. We pray for those who are currently far from home in war zones, for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, and for those whose battle scars have redefined life. Help us each to respect and engage in protection of the land of our nation, the principles of equality, and the love of our neighbors. Oh God, we ask that you breathe on our world, oh God. Breathe your breath of peace. And now we ask that you hear our silent prayers for peace. Hear us now as we pray together the prayer you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us bring our gifts forward.
bulletin is the Litany Prayer of Thanksgiving. I'll excuse the ushers, since you guys don't have bulletins. You're good. Just kind of sneak out. It's all right. It's all good. We're going to join together in the Litany Prayer. Friends, in 1820, Gates Presbyterian Church began in a tavern as the first Presbyterian Society of the town of Gates.
Thank you, Lord, for what has been.
Three church buildings were erected on Buffalo Road.
Thank you, Lord, for what has been.
In 1969, the church on Wegman Road was dedicated to the glory of God.
Thank you, Lord, for what has been.
The leadership of this church today includes 16 ruling elders, 22 deacons, and 13 trustees.
Thank you, Lord, for what is.
There are 11 people on staff, including two pastors, a choir director, children's choir director, organist, bell choir director, two office administrators, treasurer, a child care provider, and a custodian.
Thank you, Lord, for what is.
At the end of 2013, the church met all of its financial obligations.
Thank you, Lord, for what is.
In partnership with the Green Island United Church of Jamaica, we expanded a basic school to help educate young children of the Green Island community.
Thank you, Lord, for what is.
Our church feeds the hungry through food donations and volunteers at Southwest Ecumenical Ministries, St. Joseph's House of Hospitality, and Salem Soup Kitchen.
Thank you, Lord, for what is.
We practice our commitment to peace and justice through relationships with communities at Cammon Street, Grace House, in local farm fields, and in Guatemala.
Thank you, Lord, for what is.
Youth and young children aren't the future of the church. They are the church at GPC.
Thank you, Lord, for what is.
There is an unbelievable amount of change facing GPC, the Presbyterian Church, our nation, and the world.
God, you call us to come and follow you.
Through the mission and ministry of GPC, God is calling our name.
Recognizing what has gone before and grateful for what is, we will follow into God's future and never be the same.
And so, friends, we go. We go from this place, not alone, always accompanied by one another and by God, who loves us endlessly. Jesus, who teaches us to live and love, and the Holy Spirit, who gives us the courage to do it each and every day. Alleluia. Amen.